Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The podcast's mission is to share the teachings of yoga in an accessible way and to foster meaningful discussion about the practices. To learn more or to experience past teachings, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students and supporters. If you find this podcast useful or beneficial, please consider making a secure online donation by clicking the donate button at sunroseyoga.com. And thanks. Hello, hello, my dears, and welcome. This is episode 98 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. This is a 90-minute all-levels class where we continue our discussion of the eight limbs of yoga as described by Patanjali. And today we talk about contentment, santosha. I'm glad that you are here to practice and to share with the rest of us in this community. So we're coming up on the 100th episode of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast, and I'd like to invite you to send any questions or thoughts to inspire that episode. You can email me at sunroseyoga@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment on Facebook or on sunroseyoga.com or Twitter or Instagram, or whatever other medium you prefer to use. So thanks again for listening and for being here, and I'm sending you love wherever you are. So we've been talking this summer about first the yamas, the ethical practices of yoga, of how we respect the divine in others. And we've been talking about the niyamas, the personal observances, how we conduct ourselves and treat ourselves to honor the divine and honor that natural state of yoga within. And we've talked about the practices of purity and cleanliness. And last week we started talking about contentment, santosha. And the sutra itself is very simple, as they often are, sometimes are. From contentment, one gains supreme happiness. Bless you. And with some of these, it's sort of like your first reaction might be like, well, duh. Oh. If I'm content, then I'm supremely happy. That makes sense. But then how do I achieve, or how do I practice contentment? And last week we talked a little bit about how this is hard sometimes for socially conscious people who are concerned with injustice in the world. This is something I've been really struggling with lately, like reconciling these two things. And very wisely, one of my students last Monday reminded me of another sutra that comes a few before this, and that is, when you are harassed by a negative thought, cultivate the opposite. And that doesn't mean like just stick your head in the sand and like say, oh, injustice does not exist, but rather to focus on the good work that people are doing every day, the good things, the
the silver linings. And to that end, we don't hide from reality. You know, when I was talking about how my daughter stopped napping, and I had that moment of resisting, and I was like, I want my 2 hours. I can't be content without my 2 hours. Well, I was just not accepting reality. Like, reality is, that 2 hours is gone. Where do we go from here? And so I was reading this wonderful book, which I really recommend. It's called Yoga and the Quest for the True Self by Stephen Cope. Very practical book about his experience, so going to an ashram and practicing yoga, like very real. And I have this little bit that I'd like to read to you from here. Where he's quoting his teacher, Desai Amrit, Amrit Desai, reality is God in disguise. I honor reality. Reality is more sacred to me than my most sacred concept. Reality is the messenger of consciousness. I want to see reality. I don't want to hide from it. Reality is God in disguise. Acceptance of reality is what we really mean by the word love. Love is just accepting reality. Reality is relentless. It follows behind every denial, every avoidance, until it is embraced with open arms. So contentment. Does anyone have anything to add? Every thought is welcome here.
I would just say that reality, if you're not there, it's present in every moment. You can come back to it. There's opportunity. So to not beat yourself up if you're having a thought that isn't real, you can just come back.
Well, what do you think he means by reality? Like, can I even quite get that word? What does he mean?
So that's a good question, and it's. I think it's sort of loaded because, especially if you consider like lots of in tradition, like sort of reality is an illusion, and what, you know, you can kind of go down a rabbit hole there. I think when I read this, and you know, it's hard to know since we're not talking to the actual author. I mean, it's true. Reality is always, our perspective of reality is always colored through the lenses of our experience. What I think this is about is surrendering to what's really happening, and not avoiding that. The opposite of reality being those thought loops that we play, sort of like, you know, when I want my daughter to nap and I'm thinking, well, I deserve time to myself. I never get any time to myself. I'm freaking out. That whole story that I have played many times over, that I think is the opposite of reality.
And having small children, there's something about all of that, like funneling it through that view, and how, you know, we have all these expectations, but little ones they just are. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have all these things that we think we want or we need or we deserve or we have to do and all of that, and you know, they just need to like eat and sleep and run around and be loved and learn stuff, and you can fight it, but it's not going to do much good.
And I think that's true whenever we're in a moment. I mean, for me, I see this at the edges on both sides when things are really challenging. Like, oh my gosh, how are we going to make the mortgage payment? That, you know, like on that end. And, oh, life is so easy. Oh, I'm, you know, the other end when things are, everything seems to be sort of going smoothly.
But I think the minute you bring other people into it, other adults, reality is a hugely shifting concept.
No, I think that's true because everyone's got, for as much as we have this happening in our heads, everyone else does too.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality is you have to pay the rent. Mm-hmm. Reality is you have to eat food. Yeah. I mean, those kind of seem like the concretes. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, if you're sitting and having coffee with someone and all of a sudden the conversation takes a difficult direction, personally, I think reality disappears. Because you have no idea if the person who's saying what they're saying is, it's because of something that happened 3 weeks ago or if it's something that happened.
This is true, and this is, I think, how it's so important to get back to our own, you know, what we talk about a lot is sort of like, the only thing we really can have any sense of knowing is what's happening here.
Right.
And I think reality is accepting that we're never going to know the lenses through which everyone else is seeing the world and what is sort of behind what anyone else is saying. But I also think that, like with our yoga practice, like, you know, when we get into those our physical practice, when we get into those challenging moments, the more objective we can be about, okay, what is happening right now? What am I feeling? What am I actually seeing? What am I actually hearing? What are these words? I think that sort of helps us. That's the only way that we can embody objectivity and then compassion. Anybody?
Well, I know for me it's really important to keep bringing myself back to the present. She's saying that we all interpret what might have happened in a different way, but if we're actually sitting in the moment, there's not much to argue about. But we're all sitting on mats and we're in a yoga class. And so that is something I feel like I have to practice a lot. It's like, okay, this is today. This is what is going on in my life. And that's okay. That's where I'm at today.
Yeah. This also comes up for me a lot when I'm on my bike. And, you know, like in those moments where I almost get run over. And in the old days, like when we lived in Seattle and before I really started practicing, the language that went through my head, you guys would be appalled. And something happened when I just started stopping and looking what's really happening right here. This person doesn't want to hit me. This is some elderly person who does not know where they are. And they don't, you know, the more I look, the more I saw, oh, they're trying to get here. Whatever. That sort of helped me turn down.
They're not trying to kill you.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's trying to kill me. That's not what they're just trying to get from point A to point B. But before that, a lot of F-bombs were dropped in my head, and fists were shaken. So, we'll come back to this over and over and over again whenever it comes to us. We have so many opportunities to engage with the present, with every breath. Every time we have that recognition, I've been lost in thought. The minute you have that, you're no longer lost. So we've been practicing this with some architecturally complex postures over the past few weeks. And I think this is important, where we sort of confront challenges. We're not in a real attainment mode in this room. If you've been here before, you know that the glossy cover of Yoga Journal or the calendar version of the pose is not our aim. The aim is to learn what each shape has to teach us. And it has something to teach us at every point, whether it's in the easy moments where we're like, oh, this is a waste of my time. Why am I doing this? To those hard moments where you go there and you think, I will never be able to do this. Both of those ends, they have something to teach us. So remember that. I will remind you, because I know it's hard. But let's just begin by coming to a luminous seat with the hands at the heart in whatever shape feels natural. And let's sing one big, beautiful om all together. We'll take a deep breath in and let it all out, and in. And as it comes to you, as you take a breath out, bow to the heart. Bow to remembering the reality of your heart. And as it feels right, slowly start to come back. And take your time to come to all fours, hands and knees. Table pose. And just sort of start to feel our way in. And before you get too deep into it, maybe make sure that your blocks are within the reach of the front of your mat. But feel the contact you're making with earth. Notice what you can notice in this easy place. Maybe tucking the toes under and really feeling the edges of your form, the back of the body, the front of the body, and the space between. And you might, with a breath out, start to move your hips back toward your heels. And your forehead toward the floor. And as you breathe in, slowly draw yourself back to table. And as you breathe out, start to lift the hips toward the sky, toward downward dog. And you might do that little move, that little vinyasa, a few more times if it feels right, just sort of moving from table to devotional, bhaktasana, to table, to downward dog. There's something else in between, something else that feels right. Really noticing what you notice, feeling what you feel, sauntering your way in. Can you notice places that you're avoiding, places where you are lingering? And as it feels right, as it comes to you, let's just stay in downward dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana, for a few minutes. And just sort of
feel our way into this shape from the very tips of your fingers into your arms, letting the shoulders just sort of soften a bit. Shining out through the sitting bones and then letting gravity be remembered by the backs of your legs. And with a breath in, start to sweep your right leg toward the sky. So nice and gentle, nice and easy, keeping the hips square to the earth. And just making contact, so making this connection, integrating the entire back of your body from your right heel all the way down through your fingernails. And with a breath out, as it comes to you, step that right foot all the way forward between the hands into a high lunge. And we'll lower the left knee down to the earth. And we'll either bring the hands to the blocks just on the earth on either side of your right foot or on the floor. And as you breathe in, start to shift your hips back, straightening your right leg, letting your spine round, letting your back be heavy, your head be heavy. And as you breathe out, come back to your low lunge, maybe gazing up. And we'll do this a few more times, just at the pace of the breath. And there's nothing to attain here. We're just really getting curious about what we're feeling in the body. Just noticing what we notice. Our body has wisdom. It's eager to share. Notice where things sort of heat up. Notice where things speed up and where they slow down. And it's sort of natural, the first few times we move through this, to be concerned primarily with how do I do this? How do I move this way? And we start to move in the direction of what do I feel? Where do I feel? And the next time you find yourself inhaling your hips back, straightening your right leg, pause here. Let everything get sort of heavy. And you might move your hips from left to right very slowly. And with a breath in, start to lengthen your spine. So just looking up and maybe forward a bit. And with your next breath out, bring your right hand to your right hip. And take in a full breath here. And as you breathe out, just turn your face and maybe a little bit of your heart to the right. It might feel good to start to extend your right arm. It might not. Do what feels right. And you might spread your toes on both feet and notice how that changes things. You might let your sitting bones get a little bit heavier. And as you breathe in, start to untwist. And as you breathe out, come back to your low lunge. And we'll stay in our low lunge for a bit, so really kind of settle in. You might feel like tucking your left toes under, picking the knee up and moving it back in space, just so you have a little more room for the tailbone to get heavy. And start to lift through the heart, opening the collarbones, smiling through the collarbones, and then softening the shoulders away from the ears. And with a breath in, start to sweep your hands forward and up.
And as you breathe out, sort of make cactus arms, bending at the elbows, sort of drawing down, engaging. And let's do that a few more times. We'll inhale, sweep the arms up. And as you exhale, it's almost like you're doing a pull-up, like, ah. And just a few more times. Noticing what you notice. Feeling what you feel. And then we'll bring the hands as it comes to you. Feel free to take your time to the top of your right thigh and use that as leverage. It might even feel good to use your blocks. You might get more support there. Tucking your left toes under if they aren't already and lifting the left knee up. We'll scooch that left foot just a little bit closer to the right. Lower the heel to the earth. And we'll open the arms and the hips wide toward Virabhadrasana 2, Warrior 2. Maybe gazing down the right fingertips. Take a breath or two. Take a moment or two to settle in. It's not a show, so if ever it feels like, oh, this is my situation isn't right, I need to change it, do that. Now from here, let's sort of shift our gaze from forward to sideways. So you're just gazing straight ahead, facing the same way as your belly button. We'll bend the elbows, bend at the elbows, and start to draw the arms toward one another. Yeah. And then on this side, we'll rest the right elbow in the crook of the left arm. And just keep winding those arms around. Beautiful. Eagle. So now we're going to sort of modulate here. We'll start to draw the hands away from the face. And we'll start to draw the shoulders down the back. We'll start to lift the elbows away from the chest. Lots happening. What do we feel? Breath out, open the arms wide again, coming back to the other breast in two. And as you breathe in, bend the right elbow and bring the forearm to the top of the right thigh. As you breathe out, start to let the left arm fall down toward earth and then just make this nice semicircle. So you're reaching to where the wall and the ceiling meet and then softening the shoulders away from the ears. You've got a little space. This doesn't feel right on your neck or your shoulder. Bring your left hand to your hip. Now see if there's a way to really feel the contact between your back foot and the earth. Where are you making contact? And see if there's a way to integrate this electric line of your body. And slowly we'll bring again both hands to the top of the right thigh and we'll come back to the top, the ball of the left foot. So coming back to a high lunge. And we'll take a breath in and circle sweep the arms around and up overhead. And as you breathe out, just sort of settle into the shoulders. And we'll breathe in and reach the fingertips forward and down to the earth. And as you breathe out, step back toward downward facing dog. Take your time. Move just like you. Saunter in, saunter out. Feel it out. And we've been working on this alternative transition toward cobra or bhujangasana that comes from the Shiva Namaskar. And to practice this, we inhale and come to table. And we exhale and move our hips back toward the heels. And then as we breathe in, we're going to bring our nose forward between our hands. Our elbows will come out. It's almost as though we're sliding a ball forward with our nose, coming all the way down to the floor on our bellies. Hands underneath the shoulders, pressing the tops of the feet into the earth to activate the legs. And as you breathe in, start to peel the heart and the front of the ribs from the earth. Cobra Bhujangasana. And you might invite the tops of the shoulders just to settle away from the ears. Pulling rather than pushing, so we're not compressing our lumbar spine. And as you breathe out, lower down. And as you breathe in, when it comes to you, press your hands into the earth, moving your hips toward your heels. And as you breathe out, make your way toward downward facing dog. Slow and easy at the pace of your breath. Settling. And as it comes to you with a breath in, start to sweep your left leg toward the sky. Just noticing what you notice. Maybe coming in contact with the wall, that's just fine too. That can help us engage. And feel the line of your body from your left heel all the way out through your fingertips. And with a breath out, step that left foot all the way forward. And then we'll lower the right knee to the earth. Sort of set up our structure here. Hands either on the blocks or on the earth, maybe supporting your back knee. And as you breathe in, round the back, round the spine, let the head be heavy as you straighten your left leg and rock your hips down. And as you breathe out, come back to your low lunge, gazing forward. And we'll do that a few times at the pace of the breath. Really noticing. The sole of the front foot is a fun place to sort of experiment with how moving a little can change things a lot. You can either keep the sole of that foot on the earth or roll to your heel. And the next time or two that you inhale and rock the hips back, we'll pause here. We'll stay here. And first we'll let everything get really heavy. Stop resisting gravity. Don't worry too much about what it looks like. Let the bones provide the essential structure for the shape and really let everything else just sort of drip from your bones. Maybe it's just rain. And slowly, with a breath in, we'll start to lengthen the spine. So we'll lift the back of the body up. And with a breath out, we'll bring the left hand to the left hip and just shift our gaze to the left. And as you breathe in, we'll lengthen the spine again. And as you breathe out, maybe turn your heart to face the left as well. See if there's a way to practice this, still letting your collarbones smile. If it feels okay to extend your left hand toward the sky, do that. If not, And slowly with a breath in, start to untwist. And as you breathe out, make your way back to your low lunge. And you might have to scooch things around a little bit, and that's just fine. Move our legs so that the front shin is perpendicular to earth. And from here, with a breath in, start to reach the fingertips forward and up. And as you breathe out, bend your arms at the elbows. Yeah, and we'll begin again with a breath in. Noticing what you notice. And the next time your hands are drawn down, and pause there. And bring both hands to the top of the left thigh. Tucking your right toes under if they aren't already. Lift your back knee up off the floor. And we'll lower the right heel to the earth and open the arms, the heart, the hips out to Virabhadrasana 2. Let the base of the spine be heavy. Just let the base of the spine know gravity. Let the heart be light. Notice if you're avoiding anything. You're hiding. And then shifting our gaze just sort of straight ahead in the same direction that the belly button is. We'll bend the arms at the start to draw the arms toward one another. And this time we'll rest the left arm, the left elbow on the crook of the right, winding the arms around to eagle arms. And we'll move the hands away from the face. And move the shoulders down the back. And move the elbows away from the chest. To the center of the fire. Noticing where you're avoiding. We'll come back to your Virabhadrasana 2. And with the breath in, bend the left elbow, bringing the forearm to the top of the left leg, and then move toward Ubhavi Earth. Utita Parsva Konasana. Soften the shoulders away from the ears. Let the heart be light. Feel the connection we're making between the right foot and the earth. Notice where you are accepting gravity and where you are resisting. And there's no judgment there. We're just noticing. What do I feel where? How does my body hold itself here? And with the breath out, we'll bring our hands slowly back to the top of the left thigh. Come back to the ball of the right foot. And breathe in. Sweeping the arms around and up overhead, and exhale, really letting yourself settle into a lunge. And as you breathe in, reach the fingertips forward and down to the earth. And as you breathe out, reach away toward downward facing. Taking your time. with your body. And as you breathe in, make your way to table. And as you breathe out, move your hips toward your heels. And as you breathe in, start that process of just moving your nose forward, slithering, 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 until you're all the way on the floor on your belly, with elbows close to your side, and tops of the feet pressing into the earth. And as you breathe in, start to peel the heart and the front of the ribs from the earth. And as you breathe out, let your shoulders and your shoulder blades settle. Engaged legs here will help protect our low and mid back, as will this action of pulling ourselves forward like you were going to crawl across the floor on your belly. And as you breathe out, lower down. And as you breathe in, press your hands into the earth, moving your hips toward your heels. And as you breathe out, downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana. And with a breath in, whenever it comes to you, we'll pick our right hand up off the floor and reach back for the left leg, either at the thigh, the calf, or the ankle. And then let your gaze shift underneath your left armpit, pressing both of your sitting bones back. For koala. And as you breathe in, slowly come back to the center. And with a breath out, as it comes to you, go the opposite way, picking up the left hand, reaching to the outside edge of your right leg, wherever it feels right. Just sort of noticing the direction your body wants to lean or list. Noticing what you feel there. And as you breathe in, coming back to the center. And as you breathe out, just letting everything settle. As you breathe in, step your right foot forward between your hands. And as you breathe out, step your left foot forward into Uttanasana, forward fold, cascading from the hips. Pushing your feet into the floor, you might even bend your knees. Let's use the strength of the legs to breathe in and come all the way up, sweeping the fingertips toward the sky, and breathing out, bring the hands to the heart. Notice what you notice. Feel what you feel. Before we come down to earth and go deeper into our hips, I thought that we could do a little work with half moon, Ardha Chandrasana, and revolved Ardha Chandrasana, and sugar cane, Ardha Chipasana. This is a great place to use the wall. Using the wall lets us focus on different things than we maybe otherwise would. So if you are at all inclined to use the wall, do that. It's also a wonderful place if you'd like to use a block or two. And so we'll start, and we also have tons if you feel like you don't have enough room. It's like we have lots of room at this wall. Let's begin with our right side. And if you're using the wall, it's good to have yourself so that one shoulder is near the wall. And since we're going to be revolving, it might not be the shoulder that you think it is. So I'm not trying to be vague there, but I feel like this is going to be different for everybody. Some people like having one or the other. So if it doesn't work, come out and switcheroo.
So we'll shift our weight into our right foot, coming to the ball of the left, and just start by letting the base of the spine get heavy. And we'll inhale and extend the fingertips toward the sky. And as you exhale, we'll hinge from the hips. The upper body hinges forward and the lower body hinges back. So first we sort of pause in Warrior Three, where our body is in the shape of an uppercase T. And then slowly let the hands sort of drop and bring your right hand either to earth or to your block. And bring your left hand to your left hip. And right now your left hip might be feeling heavy and facing the earth. And as you bring your hand there, start to open it so that it's sort of moving toward a place where it's stacked over the right hip. And if you're not already, I would engage your left leg, maybe by flexing the foot or spreading the toes or doing something else that says, that sends a message all the way up your leg to your booty. Wake up. Be a part of this. And maybe it feels good to extend your left arm toward the sky, stacking your wrist over your shoulder, over your shoulder, over your wrist. And maybe it feels good to gaze up. Maybe it doesn't. And so from here, start to bend your left knee, just so that your heel is moving toward your left booty cheek. I just despise the word glutes. I just can't work myself. But that's the idea, toward the
glutes. Despise the word what?
Glutes. I just don't like it. And then if it feels okay, you might start to bring your left hand toward the top of your left foot. It might not feel okay, and if it doesn't, don't do it. And then start to come out of whatever shape you found your way into, and start to move your left hand toward the earth or toward your block. We're going to revolve. And we'll take a breath, maybe where the hips and the belly button are facing the earth. And with the left hand supported either on your block or on the floor, bring your right hand to your right hip. And as you breathe in, see if you can grow a little bit longer from the ball of your left foot all the way out through the crown of the head. And as you breathe out, just turn your face to look to the right. With your next breath, maybe your heart turns to the right a bit. Try not to worry too much about what your left leg is doing. I know it's hard. I know sometimes we get in this place where we've seen pictures of things, and pictures don't tell us feelings. Let yourself really feel it without needing to go somewhere where you're not. Slowly bring your right hand back to your hip. And then find your way into a really embryonic forward fold. Let your knees bend. Let your head be heavy. Let everything go. Stay there as long or as short as you like. And as you come up, there's no rush to come up, but as you do, just pause, take a moment, and notice what you feel. And this might be a nice place to just do a little bone rattling, where you sort of shake everything out, and all the way out to your fingers, all the way out, just let yourself have a bobblehead moment, or might even jump a couple times. Does anyone have any, are we having any like zing thoughts? Like, oh, yay.
A little yay.
Yay! Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, I didn't
fall over?
Yeah! Okay, good. Let's move to side two. And if there are things you learned about how you want to interact with the wall on side one, learn from that. Use that information. And we'll shift our weight into our left foot. Let your heart be light and your tailbone be heavy. And as you breathe in, extend the fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, hinge from the hips, extending your right leg behind you, extending your fingers in front of you. And then slowly let the hands sort of fall, bringing your left hand either toward earth or toward your block, and bringing your right hand to your hip. Engaging your right leg and then peeling the hip open like Warrior Two, Virabhadrasana Two. Maybe extending your right hand toward the sky. Maybe not. Usually we have one side where balancing is a little bit easier than the other, and that's normal. So how we use our body. Let yourself feel what you feel. Slowly start to bend your right knee so that your heel is just moving in the direction of your booty. And maybe reaching for the top of your right foot. This is called sugarcane, Artha Chandrasana, Chipasana. For me, this is more of like an IT band. Yeah.
I'm struggling with prints these days. I'm with lots of prints.
And then slowly bring your right hand to your right hip and toward the earth. And just have yourself make that sort of transition where your right hip gets a little heavy before bringing your left hand to your left hip. Growing long from the ball of your foot all the way out through the crown of the head. And exhaling and shifting your gaze looking left. Maybe extending your left hand toward the sky. Going to the center of whatever you're feeling. And slowly shifting back to the center, coming into a forward fold, letting everything get a little bit heavier. And you might stay here a few breaths. You might decide to come out and to move in other ways. And so remember, when we're in balancing postures like this, the shape is unbalanced. We're on one foot or one hand or on different limbs than we ordinarily would be. And we're endeavoring to learn how to respond to imbalance with grace. So I don't think it matters if we stick it. Ta-da! We're learning. So we'll come down to the floor for some hip opening and some elephant trunk. And make sure that you have your blocks nearby. And we'll start by rocking the baby. So we'll take our right leg or our left leg. We're going to do both of them just sort of right away. And so we'll just sort of rock the baby. You might place the sole of one foot in the crook of the other arm. And just sort of notice what you notice here. You might rock forward and back. And remember, there's nothing to attain. There's nothing other than curiosity. What do I feel here? What happens if I slump over? What do I feel? Where does that pull? What happens if I really am erect? Where do I feel that? What happens if I find that like perfect balance of slumping and posture? And so then from here, whichever foot you've been rocking, we're going to sort of grab the big toe or grab the outside or the inside of that foot, bending the knee just fine, and we're going to just sort of draw the knee back toward the armpit. Sort of like, I don't know, I always think of this as like, I call this Robin Hood. I think I'm like drawing back a bow. I watched the animated Disney version of that a lot as a child, and for some reason this reminds me of that, like just pulling back the bow. And then before we go any further, just sort of pause and notice what you feel. You might, for a breath or two, really hug that knee into your chest and sit really tall and notice what starts to activate in your body, what starts to work. Good, and now from here, we'll come back just to a little neutral position. And we'll bring our blocks to either side of our bodies. And we're going to endeavor toward an elephant's trunk. The elephant's trunk is going to be your extended leg. And how we find our way toward this shape is bring the fingers to the sole of the bent kneed leg's foot. Extend that leg straight. Draw it back like your bow. Take the opposite hand, hold the bottom of that foot, and then slide your arm underneath that knee. It looks however it looks. Don't overthink it. For a lot of us, this is probably the first time we've done this shape, so it's no big deal. Bring your hands to your blocks. And if this leg starts to slide down your arm, don't worry about it. Now, once you're there, engage your legs. Spread your toes. Pull your toenails toward your torso. Press your hands down into your blocks and lift your little booty off the floor. It's good to think about an elephant's trunk as you do this. What does it do? It swings, it flies all over the place.
Oh, thanks. Is
there a baby elephant trunk?
Baby elephant, you know, little baby elephant.
I like that. What we could, I think maybe it might be harder, but a baby elephant could be. Haven't tried this before, but push the hands down without, push both hands out down. The knee is not over the shoulder. Engage. Oh, that is much harder on your, for me, on the core. Yeah, I like it. So what are we feeling?
It's really
Yeah, this is wackadoo pose, isn't it? But I think it's good to kind of make our brains work in new ways and to try something that is kind of out there. Let's do the other side, rocking the baby. And while we're rocking, what are some more reactions?
I feel like my upper body is just far too heavy for me to lift. That's what I always feel like. Like, it just feels like this block of wood that I am never going to be able to pick up. Sorry.
No, I don't be. No,
I agree with you.
And what we talked about this last week, and I feel like it's really like such a, this is why we're doing those postures, because, you know, we have a, when we're focusing on attainment, when something is sort of like within our, like we can, we're so close we can see it, we tend to, when I say we, I'm usually just talking about me, but I find that it's more universal. But when we get in that attainment mode, we're out of the present. We're thinking like, oh, how awesome is it going to be when I rock this or what, you know, whatever. I'm so close. If I, you know, we're totally out of feeling what's actually happening in our bodies. We're totally away from our breath. We're way up in mind. And so I think, and of course it has a tendency sort of the opposite way, where we're like, oh, I'm so far away from this, this is stupid, there's no point in me ever attempting this. These are all things I've thought about every pose ever. But when we come back into that space where we're being really objective, what is reality? I'm on a mat. My palms are on the mat, my palms are on the blocks, what am I feeling? Robin Hood, start to pull things back as it feels right. So I think it's, and you know, the thing is I've struggled with this. There have been at times when, as a teacher, I feel like I've gone through phases where I feel like yoga is just turning into a circus and everybody is, you know, going in this direction of like, what are the most wild contortion shapes I can do? And I resist those. I do the opposite. And then I think, but I'm resisting more than the pose. And what you resist has a way of showing up in other ways. So I'm just like, let's go deep right into the center of it and learn from it. That's sort of my philosophy of why we're making an elephant's trunk. Okay, so then start to draw that knee back, holding with the opposite hand, slide your arm underneath. Notice right now what this takes. What's immediately engaging for you? Engage your feet, pull your toenails toward you so your leg, that bottom leg, is doing more work than you might think, ideally. If you are familiar with Mula Bandha, engaging that helps lift up. Laughing is always good. This is a weird, I mean, this is a weird shape.
So is my arm correct, pretty much?
Yeah, if you push down, that's right where it should be.
Is there a way?
As many as you can. For. So if this is something that at home you're feeling like, two things. The first
A lot of times, you know, when we do these poses in here, we do things that many of us will be doing for the very first time. And the first time, remember the first time you did anything, it felt strange. It felt like, am I doing it right? What is it? What even is this shape? It's normal. If you'd like to make this part of your, you know, in the next month, you'd like to sort of devote to learning how your body moves in this way, ways of moving toward that were what we were working on this morning, sort of like opening up into Virabhadrasana, two eagle arms. One other that is very helpful is to practice lizard, where you come to a lunge, press your shoulder into the back of your calf. And just making the shape makes it less unknown, less strange. How are people feeling now? Booyah!
You know, one thing, the secret of this pose is really in your core.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always kind of forget about engaging that. And then.
And it tells you,
yeah.
it reminds you. So then after that, I think it's nice, we've done all of this heavy lifting here with our upper body. It's nice to let that go. Let's do that today with a not quite restorative version of fish. And so we might come into this by using your block or a block covered by a blanket. So you have a little give. Back of the body, so the back of the legs, booty on the floor, and then reclining over your block so that your heart is the highest point of the body. And we won't stay here too terribly long. But just enough so that we can get some openness. And if it's too intense, bring your block into a lower position. Or roll your blanket instead. If this is making your low back feel unhappy, bending the knees and bringing the soles of the feet to the floor can alleviate some of that. And as you're here with your mind, just imagine anything you might be gripping or holding or protecting around the center of your heart being loosened. Opening slowly. We'll start to come out of this shape either by pressing your elbows into the floor and coming up straight or by rolling to one side and helping yourself come up. And we'll just move our props out of the way and come back to the floor on the back with knees bent and the soles of the feet on the floor about hip width or hip distance apart. And with the arms a comfortable distance from your body, with fingers spread. And with a breath in, press the soles of the feet into the floor, lifting the hips, lifting the low back, the mid back, and part of the upper back away from the earth. And Setu Bandha Sarvangasana. Finding the balance of effort and ease here in every part of your body. Noticing where you're very much efforting and soften a little bit, and finding where you're very much at ease, and engaging, maybe just waking up your eyelashes or waking up your liver, your kidneys. And you might notice where weight settles in your feet. Notice how you are balanced or not balanced in the fronts and the backs of the feet. And we'll start to lower down slowly with a breath out, maybe letting yourself really soften between your toes as you let go. And just pause, noticing what you feel, noticing what you notice. Moving in whatever way feels right. And we'll move again toward another back bend. You might find your way back to where we've just been in Setu Bandha Sarvangasana, or if you'd like to move toward upward facing bow or wheel,
Urdhva Dandasana. The soles of the feet to the floor. If you're moving toward wheel, you might bring your hands up above your shoulders with fingers pointing toward your shoulders right away. Press the soles of the feet into the floor, lifting the hips, and the low back, the mid back. If you're moving towards the wheel, you might press your hands into the floor and just move toward your head on the way, setting up. Pressing your heart toward the sky. Noticing where you're holding,
noticing where you're gripping, letting yourself participate. With a breath out, coming down slowly.
Can you show me how to do wheel?
Yes.
This is great. I like these at the wall. I feel like it's very nice. You could also have them flat on the floor, but I think that can be more to your heart and shoulders. But taking your time at every point, you know, just sort of getting comfortable with what it feels like to maybe have the top of your head on the floor. Okay, how do I? And letting your tailbone be neutral. Rather than letting it, you know, the mid back really bow or really aggressively tuck under. Yeah, it's so true. We come here to learn. We don't come because we know everything. That's true for everybody. You know, you don't go to your algebra class expecting or thinking that everyone expects you to know everything about the quadratic equation before you walk in the door. And once you're down, it might feel good to hug your knees into your chest or to move toward happy baby where you're holding your big toes or some other relaxing forward fold in whatever shape feels right, upside down, right side up. Listen to your body.
might do some reclining twists if that feels right for the moment. If that feels right for your body, letting your knees fall in one direction, maybe gazing the other way. Really listening deeply, thoughtfully to the wisdom your body has to share with you in the moment. We're always being told how to move, how to be. What if we gave ourselves a little freedom from that? And slowly, as it feels right, move in the direction of your pose of final rest. And that can be whatever is restful for you. Lots of props, no props, blankets, no blankets, on your back or on your belly or side or sitting, legs up the wall. And here we do that hardest work of coming to a place of no effort, no muscle. Complete support. And I'd like to simply read you a poem by Rainer Maria Rilke called Das Stundenbuch. Let whatever sticks stick, but let whatever flows over you flow over you. You see, I want a lot. Perhaps I want everything. The darkness that comes with every infinite fall, and the shivering blaze of every step up. So many live on and want nothing, and are raised to the rank of prince by the slippery ease of their light judgments. But what you love to see are faces that do work and feel thirst. You love most of all those who need you as they need a crowbar or hoe. You have not grown old, and it is not too late to dive into your increasing depths where life calmly gives out its own secret.
begin to remember your body. Notice the points of contact between your body and the earth. And notice how it feels to notice those. And start to notice the points of contact between your body and the sky. And draw some of that sky into your body by taking deeper, more intentional breaths. Notice all of the movement that accompanies breathing. Being breathed. And let that movement of breathing invite more movement into your form. Maybe beginning with the palms of the hands and the soles of the feet. Letting that spread and grow. Maybe rocking from side to side, or making your body long and then short and wide and narrow. And then pausing, either by rolling to your favorite side or pausing in your seat and just being in this space between. And as it feels right to slowly make your way back to your luminous seat, where the lower body is relaxed, where you remember the length of your spine. And you might bring your hands to your heart and simply thank your body for experimenting, holding shapes, carrying you through this day. Maybe take a moment to thank your mind, whether it was in a willing or an unwilling companion on this journey. It's all helpful. It's all grist for the mill. And I thank you all for sharing your practice, for sharing yourselves, for sharing the space. And I wish you contentment, santosha on your path until we meet again and always. Namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Kelly.
Please ask if you have any questions or tell me if there's anything you'd like me to know.